Okay, let's go ahead and get our Bibles open up to Psalms. Anybody have a favorite psalm? Some people have favorite ones. Anybody got a favorite one? There's not a wrong answer. So, Brother Jim? 121. Probably not as familiar to some. Anybody else? It's okay. Psalm 25.
Yeah, verse 1.
Psalms 25, verse 1. What's that say? He likes to sing. There you go. Well, I lift up my voice, that one. Anybody else got a favorite psalm? Be thou my vision. What chapter is that in? Do you know? Oh, well, I'm glad. I didn't know where it was either, so I'm glad. So that's good. So a chapter, I guess, is a better way. What favorite chapter in the book of Psalms? Psalms 18? 44. 24. Okay.
34.
No one's hitting the ones I thought was the most popular ones. Chapter 2. Chapter 2 is a good one. Miss Shirley. What is it? 37. So that's my favorite, and that's where we're going today is 37. 37 is super long. There is a couple of different ones. I'm trying to see what I should preach about. So anybody else got some? I mean, obviously, probably the most well-known one is, anybody got a guess? 23. Surprise, at least thought somebody would have said 23. And then there's another really popular one, except for the fact it's super long. It's a great one, too, is 119. Anybody else? 139. Oh, that's another great one. Psalm 100, Psalms 19, a lot of great ones there, but we're going to Psalms 37 this morning. Announcement-wise, I think hopefully everybody in the room got the message. I am not Brother Brian McBride. I am Brian, but it was supposed to be the beginning of our spring revival. It had to be canceled for some different reasons. I think most people understand why. So be praying for the McBride family. I'm not sure if he had the opportunity to reschedule it or not, but we told him, hey, come. We'll see how things work out if you wanted to. Wasn't 100% sure what we were going to do, but he didn't feel super comfortable coming because of all the unrest and things. So we decided to just cancel it. We might do something a little bit later on in another weeks or months, just something special. I know the Lord planned it out to where we had the special meetings with the Van Gelderens and their team there, which was a blessing. But we're just going to kind of let the Lord lead us on what to do next. But we are having service right now, Sunday school, Sunday morning. Then we're going to have dinner in the back, and then we're going to have an afternoon service, and we're going to be finished for the day. That's just the way I felt like the Lord was leading and guiding for us to do it. And that's what we're going to do. So announcements, stay for dinner if you want to. You say, I didn't bring anything. Most people didn't. It's something the church has helped provide. Some people made some of the sides, and we'll have a can out there for donations if you want to help to cover the charge cost of it. It's going to be fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and macaroni cheese, and green beans. I wanted corn, but they said that was too many starches. At least they had something green back there. And then some type of dessert and some type of bread. So come stay, and then after that is done, we're going to have morning service, and we're hoping that's going to, afternoon service, we'll say about 1:45. If we get done a little earlier, we'll start a little bit earlier. We're going to have two shorter messages. I'm going to preach one, and Brother Joe's going to preach one this afternoon, and looking forward to those things, and we're going to do favorites this afternoon, just have a good time together, and so that's what our services are today. Unfortunately, if you invited somebody to come to the revival, hopefully they'll still come today to the morning services, but you need to make sure you have not let them know that we will not be having services Sunday night, Monday night, or Tuesday night. Instead, it's Sunday afternoon. Long list of announcements. You can check your bulletins. Men's prayer meeting. Got to stop calling breakfast. Men's prayer meeting. It's going to be every Saturday during the month of May, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Had a good turnout yesterday. It was encouragement and a blessing. Ladies Appreciation Luncheon coming up on the 15th. Ladies, we want to show our appreciation by putting on lunch for you. Please sign up if you plan on coming. Gentlemen, if you plan on helping that day, please sign up with that also. Sunday school classes beginning. There's on the 16th, there's going to be a breakup. We're going to restart many of our new classes. Mr. Bateman's going to be teaching the auditorium class out here. The Widow Ladies class will begin. Also, the college and career class will be beginning. Mr. Lyman will be teaching that. And then also, we call it the young adults, but we're really not fooling ourselves. Some of them are young. Some are like my age, which is not young. But that class that we've been teaching for the last 6 months on and off will be inside the old fellowship hall. Graduation fellowship coming up. Kristen Colvin, we're celebrating her graduate from high school. That's May 30th. Following the evening service is a dessert fellowship, meaning that we asked her what type of food she liked, because we usually ask the graduates, and she said desserts. So we're asking people to bring desserts that night. We just so we can, if you want some real food, we are serving chicken and dumplings already. Also, besides that, but we're asking people to come in and bring desserts. Say, what's her favorite? I have no idea. You know who she is. You can ask her if you want, or you can just bring something you know you're going to enjoy. Church picnic. This is the multi-church picnic that's going to be involving all the other local independent Baptist churches. Victory, the two Emmanuels, even Elizabeth City Baptist is going to be here, and also Harmony Baptist. Probably people are going to be represented from all the different churches. That is Saturday, June 5th. We need you to sign up for that by May 30th. We're going to start off 2:15 in here in the auditorium. And then we'll give some instructions, ask a blessing on the food, and then we're going to eat. And then after we eat, we're going to have service. That you say, I don't want to come for food. That's fine. Service will probably be about 3:45. But with that many people, probably going to take a little bit longer to get through and get cleaned up there. So about 3:45, schedule for Brother Dave Barnhouse to be the preacher that day. And from 3:45, service get done sometime around 5 o'clock. And then we're going to go outside and do some activities. They're going to be it's competitive softball game, volleyball, kickball, also horseshoes and cornhole, and also the inflatables for the kids or the people that think they're still kids, all those different things. But if you want to come and just enjoy some fellowship with other churches in the area and also with your church family, I think it's a great idea, and we're going to try to do our best that day. We are taking an offering up for the cost of the food. So if you're coming and you want to help support it, all of the offering that day will go for the food. Junior camp, June 13th through the 16th. Teen camp, Kids Crusade. Junior camp is coming up quicker than coming up quickly on us. We do have a sign-up sheet out there if you plan on helping for junior camp. If you plan on helping for junior camp, we'd love to have you sign up and be a part of that. Please mark on there if you're available anytime. Remember, it starts Sunday night and ends Wednesday afternoon, so it's a 24-hour thing. So you write down anytime. That could mean anytime. And so, but mark down what you're available for, and we will give out assignments and things like that. We did it a few years ago. It was a great blessing. And we do, the plan is, the majority is going to be for our kids that come here and come regularly and faithfully. If you have a grandchild that you would like to see get in church and want to be a part of that, that's okay. We're working on that, but it's not open to everybody and everybody's neighbors and friends. It's something that we're focusing on here for our kids. 6 to 8 is for those that get to come during the daytime, and then 9 all the way up to those that have just finished the sixth grade is the ones that can stay overnight. So we have a good group of kids. I'm hoping they all can come, and looking forward to a good time that's there that goes along with that. Okay, if you have kids, someone that you would like to invite, or grandkid or something like that, that doesn't come on a regular basis, you'd love to see them get in church, getting attached to it, let me know and we can talk about it for junior camp. Okay, and I think that's enough announcements. Psalms chapter 37. I know I did say Psalms 37 was my favorite, and if I had to choose, I would push that down as my favorite, but I love the Psalms. They're wonderful. They're great. Many times I'll read a psalm a day. Doesn't always work out that way, but Psalms 37 is one of the special ones to me. I really enjoy Psalms 119 also. Psalms 23, we've studied that a few different times, so that's really special too. Psalms chapter 1 is also another great one too. I know nobody mentioned that one, but there's a lot of wonderful things in here. So this one for this morning, I think it's appropriate. I think we're just going to kind of walk through it because of the fact that you read the first couple verses and it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And in all reality, what are we living in right now? There's some evildoers out there that are doing wrong that we are working on. So, and there's people that actually that are fretting about it. Now, you say, Pastor, that's normal, isn't it? Maybe normal, but if we're going to look at it, is it biblical? You know, what is our response supposed to be? How are we supposed to respond? And that's what we're going to look at today is fret not thyself. That's the name of the lesson or the message. I think it's key that we have the proper focus during all the time, but specifically and especially during times of uncertainty. If we have the proper focus, you know what we'll have. We'll have peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So when you think about it, what's the Bible saying there? Hey, you can have perfect peace. And there's out people, obviously, the reason why they are protesting. There's reasons why there's an outcry is because of the fact that they think there is some type of injustice. But at the same time, it's they don't have peace in their hearts. There's not a perfect peace that's there. There's something that has bothered them. There's something there that has taken a hold of them. And I'm not saying out there, fret not thyself because of evildoers, saying that every person that's out there is an evildoer. Obviously, I'm not saying that. But I am saying there's a lot of evildoers that are trying to stir up problems and trying to do things the wrong way. And the Bible says, what are you supposed to do with them? You know, how are you supposed to handle them? Well, it says it right here, fret not thyself because of evildoers. It says that's not really what you're supposed to be focused on in this world. The message that has been pushed off the last couple Wednesday nights, it goes in Acts chapter number 1, and it's talking about how Jesus has getting ready to ascend up, and as he's getting ready to go up, what do the disciples ask them? He says, are you going to have your kingdom now? And what does Jesus say? He said, that's not for you to worry about. There's something that you're supposed to focus on, but that's not what you're supposed to focus on right now. And then you have that famous verse in Acts 1:8, it says, but ye, and it says the word but. It says, okay, I know you're worried over here about the kingdom and when it's going to come and how it's all going to start, all that. He says, but that those times are the things you're supposed to be worrying about. And we might preach about it on Wednesday night still. But ye shall receive power. He says, that's not for you to worry about. This is what I want you to worry about. And I think sometimes in the day and time we live in, we worry more about evildoers than we worry about what we're supposed to do. Now, and it's not saying that we should remain silent, not saying that we should never stand up. Obviously, the Bible says contend for the faith. But what does it say? It says contend for the faith. Sometimes people are contending for things that have nothing to do with the faith, that has nothing to do with what they have any part in. And I don't want to see religious liberties and religious freedom stripped away, obviously. But there's the illustration that's found there in Acts chapter number 1. They were worried about the kingdom, and Jesus says, that's not what I have planned for you. I have something planned for you, and it's not worrying about the kingdom right now. It's, yes, you're supposed to look for the day I return, yes, but he says, but ye shall receive power. This is what I want you to focus on. I think when you come to Psalms chapter 37, when he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he saith that his day is coming. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, wonderful passages of Scripture. Oh, there's so much in it. But Lord, in a day and time when it seems like evildoers are waxing stronger and stronger, we see that their day is only for a little while. And Lord, the Bible says that they're going to be cut off. The Bible says we should consider their end. The Bible says that we should not fret ourselves about them. And God, I pray that we focus more in what he has given us instruction to do, when he tells us to trust, when he tells us to delight, when he tells us to commit, when he tells us to rest. Lord, I pray we focus more in those things than fretting about someone else who's doing wrong. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I am not saying that we should be like an ostrich and put our head in the sand and act like nothing's happening. I'm just saying we should have a better focus. I'm saying what should be most important in our world and what should be most important in our life. He gives us some specific things. Now, that word fret, what does it mean? Many times people they put it with worry. And there is a connotation for that. But the word fret means to have your heart burn, to fume, to become vexed. It's actually talking about someone who is jealous when it sees someone that is breaking laws. Fret not. Another person put it this way. It means to burn or to be kindled, to be inflamed. It often applies to anger, not a holy anger, but a selfish anger, a fleshly anger. It's under the influence of becoming heated. And in a sense, it becomes angry or indignant. Proverbs chapter 24 puts it this way. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. It's the same idea of worrying, the same idea of chafing, the state of mind where we are worried and envious because others seem to be prospering, others seem to be being successful. And you say, Pastor, I'm not envious of those that are evildoers, but what are you? Do you worry about them? Do you fret about them? And the Lord's kind of given me a burden in my heart a little bit that they're believing a lie. And because they're believing a lie, they've swallowed so many different things, the untruths that are out there. And the truth is not having a priority in the day and time we live in. And so many people are under a satanic hold and don't even realize it. So that's why I want to look here just for a few minutes at how God tells us to respond. Let's look at verses 1 and 2 first. And this idea of fret not thyself. Let's not let our flesh become angry about things. And it's easy to do. I mean, how many of us want to say, hey, they shouldn't be blocking the streets because that's not a peaceful protest. And that's the reality is it's against the law. And we need to trust in our law enforcement. And we pray for them that they make wise decisions and those that are in leadership. And he says, well, I don't like what the leadership's decisions they are making. Vote next time. Run next time if God calls you to do it. But at the same time, it's not something that we should let ourselves become fleshly. And as we're becoming fleshly, I don't see where it says in the Bible it's okay to be fleshly. And that's what it's saying. Fret not thyself. Don't become to the spot where you become unrighteous in your anger and you let yourself become something that you want to respond and that you want to run over a protester. Anybody ever been tempted to do that? Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been tempted. Maybe you've talked about doing that. But at the same time, I want to encourage you, what is the biblical response? And I know that probably the majority of people that are here and the majority of people that are listening online would say, I don't want to be out there protesting because I don't agree. I've heard their voice. I've heard what they say. I don't agree with what is being said there because we don't have the whole entire truth yet. Let's wait until the whole entire truth comes out. And then from there, let's make sure people are accountable or let's let the light come out for that. And others would say, I've heard what people have to say. I don't agree with what they're saying. I think what they're saying is a lie and I don't want to be a part of that. Whatever the reason that's there, how do we respond? And I see here in Psalms 37 some different ways that we're supposed to respond. The first thing is we're not supposed to fret. We're not supposed to be fleshly. We're not supposed to react in a way that would please the devil. And we need to look to God and we need to pray and say, God, how do you want me to respond to this? Now, is there a holy and righteous way of being upset about something and angry about sin? There is. But at the same time, this is talking about getting in a way that our flesh gets involved. And most time I've ever seen someone angry, it's not because they're angry of sin. They're fleshly. They might be angry about the sin, but they become sinners also in their anger. It's important. Yes, Jesus, he did turn over those tables, didn't he? He was not happy. He turned over those tables. He got those whips out. And but Jesus never sinned. He was holy in what he did. So what's the difference? Many times we act in the flesh. So fret not thyself. That's not what he's designing us to do. Because of evildoers, neither be thou envious. I've heard people say, why do they get to do this? And why do they get to do that? And why do they do that? And why not? And you know what they're doing? They're envious. Hey, I should be able to do that. Well, if you think it's wrong, you don't want to do that. Let's make sure we're not fretting. We're not becoming jealous of those. And I know that he said, well, I'm definitely not jealous. What about other people? Why do we get envious when we see people doing wrong and seeming like they're prospering? And we sit there and say, well, if I had that, or if I could do that, or if I had that influence. No, we trust in the Lord. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And why is that? It's because they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. It's because of the fact that it's not going to last forever. Look what it says in verse 13. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. You know what? The Lord sees the things that are happening right now, and he understands it all. He's seen it all happening. He understands the whole plan. And that's why he said, hey, don't worry about that. And we go to him, Lord, what about this? And Lord, what about that? What if this happens? And what if this happens? And what if this has happened? He's like, I got it all under control. Amen. I don't fret about it. Now, let me lead you and guide you, because there's a plan and there's a purpose behind all this. And there's something that can happen. And there's light that needs to be shined, and the glorious gospel light that needs to pierce through to the hearts, and how the Bible can divide the soul and the sunder. But he's saying for us, we need not to learn how to fret, because it's only going to be for a little while. Well, Pastor, if I can't fret, what am I supposed to do? Pastor, if I can't post mean stuff on Facebook and argue with people, what is it that I can do? What is it that I can do? And he says right here, the first thing we need to do is trust in the Lord and do good. As that's it comes to the point. He says, if I'm not supposed to be fretting, then what do? I trust in God. And you think about it, what does that word trust means? It means that we're confident. It means that we're sure. It means that we're bold and that we have hope. And there's even, if you go, it's the idea of being careless. What do you mean? I don't care what the world says. I'm trusting in the Lord, and I'm going to do what he's asked me to do. And if I'm going to do what he's asked me to do, I'm leaving everything else up to him. So I'm not caring about the world. I'm caring about what God wants me to do, and I'm trusting in the Lord. And you know what? I'm just going to do what's good. And that good is not fretting. That good is letting us be worried about the things we should be concerned about. It's not being worried about when Jesus is going to return, per se. And yes, I know we're supposed to be looking, but he says, hey, those times and those seasons are not for you. He says, but what is for you is that you be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that you be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, and then goes on and on and on. Those are the things we should be worried about, not fretting about what the wickedness and the evil that's happening in the world. It says, trust in the Lord, and we have a great hope that God is able to make sure that they're going to be cut down like grass. So shall they dwell in the land, and verily they shall be fed. I love it when he says, look, they're going to be fed. You're going to be taken care of. You don't have to be fretting for about the evildoers. Someday they're going to be gone. And you will dwell in your land, and you will be fed. And I know that's a to the nation of Israel type promise, but it's the same application. Later on in this verse, it talks about how he's been old and how he's been young. And he said, I have been young in verse 25, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. He understands that we are going to be fed. We're going to be taken care of. So what am I supposed to do today? I'm supposed to trust in God. I'm trusting myself, I need to stop fretting because of evildoers. I need to stop focusing on me, and I need to have that purpose, peace, perfect peace, because my mind is stayed on thee, and I need to do good. Not only do we trust in him, we take it a step farther in verse number 4. He says that we're supposed to delight in him. Now, we trust in things sometimes we don't delight in. You know, sometimes we trust their car to get us from one spot to another spot, but certain people don't delight in their car very much. Some people are like, man, I wish I could get rid of this piece of junk. and some cars are not trustworthy. But Jesus and God is saying here, not only do you learn to have faith and confidence in me, he says, I want you to get to the point where you actually take pleasure in me. I want you to love me. And I want you to enjoy being there with me. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. He says there's an also. Not only is it just trusting, God, I'm trusting in you. God, I'm holding in you. No, it comes to the point that we actually have pleasure in trusting in God. I'm not fretting. I'm not worrying. I am actually taking pleasure in the fact of who God is. And as we learn about him and we learn about his attributes and we realize he's the one in control and he's the one in charge, not only am I staying confident and I'm trusting in him and I'm doing what's good, it becomes a delight, a pleasure in serving him. I want to encourage you today to learn and ask God to help us delight in him, delight in his ways. I think many times we get, when our Christianity, we read things and sometimes we got to take those steps of faith and say, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you. I don't see it. I don't really enjoy it. I know it's what I'm supposed to do, but you're going to have to show me. You're going to reveal unto me. You're going to have to help me here. But as time goes along, it's a progress. I learn not to fret. I learn to trust, and I begin to do good. And then he says, delight thyself also. He says, look, get past just trusting in him. Get past and just doing what's right. Begin to delight that you take pleasure in trusting him. You take pleasure in doing good. It's no longer a burden. It's no longer something that seems like it's an overwhelming thing. I got to look right. I got to dress right. I got to speak right. I got to do this right. I got to do that right. No, no, no. It becomes something that we delight in, because once we delight in him and delight in his word and delight in doing good, he says that he gives us the desires of our heart. Hey, look what it says. It actually says there. He says, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You say, Pastor, I've been asking God for this certain desire for a long time. Do you trust in him? Are you doing good? Have you taken that step that no longer is it just a trust in doing what's right because I know it's right? It's taking pleasure in the fact that I know him and I love him and I trust him and I enjoy trusting him. I take pleasure in trusting him, and whatever he asks and whatever he wants, he puts things into our hearts. He gives us desires that we did not even know that he has intended for us. And as we begin to pray, God, will you please answer this prayer? He gives us that desire, because no longer is it our desire. Instead, it's his desire for our life, and our desire becomes whatever his desire is. But we fret too much. We wax angry too much. We lose our focus on the perfect peace. We trust him in some areas, but not all areas. We still want to do what we want. We do good some of the times, but we had to fight to do it. He says, if you want to get to the spot where you get your prayers answered, delight in me. He said, then I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. Then the next thing is commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. So not only did he says, hey, what am I supposed to do today? I'm not supposed to fret. I'm not supposed to get in the flesh. Boy, it's easy to get in the flesh. Boy, especially if you get around other people in the flesh, it's really easy to talk about it. It's easy to get riled up. It's easy to listen to somebody else. It's easy to get worked up. And we get fleshly and we start saying things and we start wanting to do things. And sometimes people even say, they call that preaching sometimes. And once again, if it's fleshly, it's not in the spirit. It's either you're pleasing the flesh or you're pleasing the spirit. One or two, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now, trust in him. Do good. Learn to delight in his ways. And then he says, commit. You figured out how to all do it. You're getting to the spot. You're enjoying serving God. Now he says, now I want you to commit to doing it more. I don't know about you. I've been there before. I've had to work on the fretting. I've had to work on the trusting. I've had to work in the doing good. I've had to work on the delighting. But it doesn't last too long. That's what happens many times in Christians' lives. They get right. They get off focus. They lose that perfect peace because our mind isn't stayed on him. But he's saying, if you want it to follow through, learn how to commit to it. Learn to make a lifestyle change. I've heard that lifestyle change word before when people are talking about diets. Not on a diet. I'm on a lifestyle change. Well, you're telling me to eat good. That's a diet to me. And that's a lifestyle change. So that's what it's here. He's saying, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. It's not enough to stand up and make a commitment. I'm trusting in God. It says you actually got to do it. Words are cheap. Words are something that that we say, and even though sometimes they're even hard to say when we're talking about our decisions, he's saying, make it a commitment that's going to last by trusting him, and he shall bring it to pass. I love verse number 6. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as noonday. If you do what it says in verses 1, 3, 4, and 5, God's going to take care of you. Even though you say, well, pastor, people aren't going to understand. People are going to, you know what? He will bring your righteousness to the light. It's not you that has to say, hey, look at me. I'm doing what's right. I'm a martyr here. No. He's the one that brings it to the light. And sometimes it might be the person that's been attacked and people said, I mean, think about what they said about Jesus. You think about what the mainstream media would have said about Jesus. The religious leaders are calling him a devil. He must be part of the demons. And, you know, he's serving Beelzebub and this. And, man, it's, what did he do? He was God, I understand. But at the same time, he's saying, hey, look, you don't have to work on defending yourself all the time. I'll bring your righteousness to light. And thy judgment is noonday. Sometimes for testimony's sake, sometimes you clarify certain things. But you don't have to answer it just because somebody says something about you. Verse number 7. I don't know if it's the hardest part, because if you do verses 1, 3, 4, and 5, but verse number 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. That's tough sometimes. You want to know why? It's because we try to rest before we ever do verse number 1, 3, 4, or 5. You're never going to find the peace until you're willing to put away the flesh, trust in him, do good, and then learn to delight in him and commit. That's when he's saying, you can find rest. One thing I hear from older people sometimes is they can't get good nights of sleep often. Maybe because they have to get up and use the bathroom all the time, or because they hurt, they get 3 or 4 good hours of sleep. They say, I got all the time in the world to sleep, and it seems like I never get any good sleep. Rest is something that is that people are missing. I know they're not talking about just as much about physical rest, because once we're able to rest inwardly, we're able to rest ourselves. But so many times people are up and they're fretting and they're worrying. And he's saying, you can rest in me. And he says, and wait patiently for him. We're waiting patiently for God to do what he wants, and not waiting on him in the idea, God, this is what I want you to do. Now come and do it. We're waiting on you. No, we're waiting for him in the idea, God, I'm resting you. I've already learned to not fret. I've already learned to trust. I've already learned to delight. I've already learned to commit to you. And I'm just waiting for whatever your next step is. And then we see those next words, fret not thyself. He comes in here because of him who prospereth in his way. He doesn't even talk about because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. See, he's saying, look, don't fret just because it seems as if someone is prospering and someone is bringing things to pass. He says, you cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself. Once again, he says, don't become angry because of those that are prospering. Don't become angry with those in any wise to do evil. He says, you cease from anger, you forsake from wrath, for evildoers shall be cut off. That's not your testimony. That's not where you're headed to as a believer, as a Christian. That's not your end. He says, you don't need to worry about these things in this world, and don't fret about this and don't fret about that. Learn to trust in me. Learn to do good. Learn to delight in me. Learn to commit, and then you will find the rest that escapes so many of us. People that can be peaceful when they sleep because they've given all over to the Lord. I don't have to worry about what my kid or my, what if my kid's sick, or yes, we pray and we cast our cares upon him, but we learn to trust in him. So it's, you continue on and he gives you reasons. He says, for yet a little while. Doesn't seem like a little while to us, does it? I don't know how long. I guess it's been almost 2 weeks now since the shooting, or 11 days or 12 days, and it seems like it's been a long time, like we've been dealing with this. It's a little while. In God's eyes, 1,000 years. You think about it, for God's perspective, everything that's happening in this world is just a little while, because he deals with eternity. And it might seem like it's long and far-fetched for us, but the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, it's just for a little bit of time. Imagine we have all of eternity to reap rewards and to praise God with in a glorified body. and where that's how we know and what we're going to do, what is best. It's here on earth that we show and demonstrate, I trust you. It's here on earth I learn not to fret and worry. It's here on earth. In the glorified body, we're going to be able to handle it. We're going to be like him. It's not going to be a worry. It's not going to be sin present. We're not going to have distractions. We're not going to have this or that. And I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but I do know that it's here in this life that we truly, surely demonstrate what's really matters important. And if we really are serving for a future that is forever and eternity, how much should we stop focusing on the things of this world and say, whatever you want, God? I only have this many years to serve you here with a free choice. Let's keep on going. It says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. When you see somebody that's out there that's wicked, somebody out there seems like they're prospering, someone out there like, I don't know if 100% sure, but somebody said that Al Sharpton's coming tomorrow to do the eulogy. And they might call him Reverend, but he's not serving God with his past actions. And if you go and just research the things he's said and done, this trouble he has stirred up, it's not truth. And because of that, you know, we consider what his end's going to be like. When we consider those that are living wickedly and trying to spread lies, and he says, look, we're not supposed to fret about those. We speak truth, we call truth truth, and we call sin sin, but that's not something we worry about. And he says, it's just for a little while, and the wicked shall not be. They're not going to be in heaven with us someday. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. And I wonder when it's talking about diligently consider his place, I wonder if that means we should be thinking, man, what they're doing in this world is wrong. We need to pray for them. We need to witness to them. I had somebody, I forget who, asked us, you need to try to get near Al Sharpton. And I didn't know what the guy was getting at. I says, and why would I want to do that? I says, if I got near him, I'd probably try to witness to him. And he says, yeah, that's what I was talking about. And I said, okay. And if we consider their end, and we consider eternity, and we consider where their soul will be cast forever, what is our response? We want to pray that they would hear the truth and believe the truth. So no. They deserve to go there. Be careful. We all deserve to go there. If it not for the grace of God, the blood of Jesus, that's where we all would be headed. And I know sometimes we like to pick and choose, well, that person deserves to be there. But in all reality, if it wasn't for what Jesus did on the cross, that's where we would be headed too. So when it says, diligently consider his place, I wonder what that really the Lord's trying to teach us. And then just in verse 11, he says, but the meek, those that have strength under control, shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. This is what a person that's strength under control will delight themselves in. They will have abundance of peace. Man, that's definitely not somebody who's frightened. And then it continues on, the wicked plotteth against the just. Yes, those that are living right, the devil's gonna mess with people to mess with us, gnashes upon them with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Doesn't tell us to laugh at him. It tells us to diligently consider their end. But when you consider the force and the power and the threats and all those other things, God hears somebody doing that and saying, I'm going to come, and God just, you're not going to do anything unless I let you. It's sort of like that little guy, little kid that comes up there, maybe as you got a son there that wants to wrestle with you, and he says, I'm going to beat you up. And you're thinking, you're 3 years old and you weigh 20 pounds. I could just sit on you. And it's kind of a chuckle because of the reality is no chance. And that's what they're saying about the evilness and the wickedness. They're going to win is what they're saying. And we're going to push this forth and this cross. The gates of hell is not going to prevail against the church. That it's just not going to happen. The world is not going to win in the end. It's going to be Jesus Christ. And we know he's coming back. We know the victory that's there. So how do we respond? We first learn not to get fleshly and fret. We instead learn to trust in him, delight in him, commit, and then God will give us that rest that is missing in so many people's lives today, even Christians.